Fantasy Edge with Richard Seville and Dennis Sosik.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville of FantasySixPack.net, and joining me shortly, as always, Dennis Sosik, also of FantasySixPack.net. Also, a special guest appearance of Davis Peng with his first Peng's Picks of the year. So we will be visiting to hear what he has to say about what he's going to bring to the Fantasy Edge this season on this podcast. So he'll have a little segment when he's not filling in for Dennis. If Dennis has to take time off, he's kind of our alternate, but we want to keep him busy. Big draft week. This is the busiest draft week of the fantasy year in the run up to week one, which we'll be talking about shortly, and a little bit of the news. But before we get into any of the news, we got to bring in Dennis. So here's Dennis. It's Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Wow. Hey there. Changed it up on me, didn't you?
Wanted to.
Wasn't expecting that.
Wasn't. I wanted to throw you off because, well, it's kind of the sound we've got to get used to.
Very true.
It's the sound of football. That is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait.
I love that sound.
In a couple of days.
That should be. You know what? That should be my alarm clock.
Be a ringtone on your phone.
Yeah.
Whatever. Right.
Yeah. I can give it to you. There you go. You can have it as your ringtone if you'd like it.
There you go. Sure. Why not?
All right. Let's get into the news, Dennis. There's really not a whole lot. We were talking before the podcast about what we can talk about as far as breaking news of anything. And we started talking about, Laquon Treadwell getting signed to the practice squad. that's the latest. That's kind of the latest news. But no. We talked about like Alan Lazard. Like he's a question, not a big questionable, but you know, if he doesn't play, it kind of makes things awkward in the passing game for Aaron Rodgers, is it not?
Right. Yeah. Surprised to see the news about Lazard. I didn't know he was missing practice all week, and then we were talking before the show about he's not committal. Matt LaFleur, the coach, is not committal about having him play this week, which is kind of surprising. Maybe that brings up Sammy Watkins, who usually has his couple weeks of stardom, and then you don't hear from him the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And then maybe even the rookie Christian Watson makes a guest appearance this week, even though he hasn't really practiced that much this camp either. But maybe we see him in certain packages as well. So. And you always got Randall Cobb there, and of course the stud running backs. They should see a lot of action as well. So interesting offense this, and their matchup against the Vikings this week.
Sammy Watkins, maybe.
Yeah.
You want to DFS him?
Yeah, maybe. Not a bad idea. How many people are going to be in on him? So it's kind of a sneaky pick.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He's Watkins is. Well, if there's no Lazard, Watkins, right?
Right, you would think so.
He's kind of the only veteran. I mean Dobbs and Watkins. I mean, you can't really rely on rookies solely. I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, some guys just fly out the gate, like Justin Jefferson, right? So.
Right, exactly. You never know. Yeah. Hey, Randall Cobb's still there, so you never know.
Oh, yeah, I am. Hey, boy, he's a... in a deep league, yeah. It puts on... He's good for a touchdown, maybe. I mean, you could, you know, stuff like that. But really no news. The news has sort of been just creeping along as we start the week, and we're waiting for, you know, Thursday to come. It's the big game, and I don't think I'll just hand it over to you, Dennis, and where we should go.
Yeah, we were talking about going to, you know, starting a kickoff this Thursday. Thankfully, the wait is finally over. I can't wait to get started with the Bills and the Rams. Should be a high fantasy output game. But before we get there, we want to talk about our biggest takeaways from the preseason. So what do you think is your biggest fantasy takeaway? What made you think twice about a player, positive or negative, this preseason.
Well, I'm going to go with something. I mean, we've talked about a lot of players in past weeks, but you know who sort of caught my eye over the last weekend, and I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to, you know, do any giveaways because I hadn't picked him off the waiver wire yet, and that is Braxton Berrios.
Oh, interesting.
I think there's a possibility of a breakout with him. I know there's it was just what I saw of him on the Jets and what Robert Saleh might be doing. So this is kind of a recent, like, this isn't kind of like my overall picture, but I kind of want to put in this little nugget. If Braxton Berrios is in your waiver pool and you're not happy with one of your late round picks, if you thought, and if you're, if you don't have a locked, like we do in this stupid league, we have a locked, we've got a locked waiver pool. We can't go in there and we can't just pick up and drop free agents. There's practically no free agency in there on our stupid F6P2. Who set this up?
Was it me?
Well, I know it wasn't you. You wouldn't do that.
Yeah. No,
I would have free, you know, you want free agents out there that you don't have to wait all day to get a guy that nobody perhaps wants. So I picked him up in the stupid league. So anyways, I picked him up and I'm picking him up because of basically eye test of what I saw in the, I didn't realize Braxton Berrios was so fast. He's a pretty quick, he's a quick guy. And I can see him. Well, he had 65 targets last season and 55 the year before. I don't count his rookie year, which was the year previous to 20 and 21. But, in 2019, he was, you know, practically, he was a red shirt guy, you know. So, yeah, 55 targets and he's gone up to 60. I mean, 65 targets is, you know, that's growing. I think he could be. I'm not looking for a Julian Edelman or Cole Beasley type of. Well, maybe he could probably reach the level of a Cole Beasley. He's that kind of guy. I don't know. But, you know, Edelman, different kettle of fish of that kind of receiver that he is. But yeah, if that's just one of my short takeaways. I'll give you a bigger picture after you have a go. I've hogged the mic a bit too much already.
No, you're fine. You're fine. It's an interesting pick. I mean, the thing I worry about there, they have a lot of receivers there that are standing his way with Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, and Garrett Wilson there. Who knows who's going to be quarterback because Zach Wilson's still recovering from his knee surgery, and Flacco is, Flacco. Especially this week. I mean, I know you're talking about during the season, but, you know, Flacco playing against Baltimore this week, that's going to be an ugly matchup for him. Berrios could be a deep option, but. I don't know. It's interesting pick.
Well, I'm just saying for, you know, like if you're not happy with your late round guy, or if you pick Marlon Mack, you want to exchange him out for somebody. I know he's right. Not, I know you kind of like if Marlon Mack got cut, you're kind of looking for another running back to replace him. But I mean, if it doesn't matter to you, I have a suggestion. Nice practice, Marlon.
Okay.
Why don't you start with your overall impressions of the preseason and the off season, and then
yeah,
all
one yeah one thing that I was curious about all off season and watching the preseason carefully was the Baltimore Ravens running back room. J.K. Dobbins tried to recover from surgery. Gus Edwards also trying to recover. Both of them, let's say they want to start the season. For sure, Edwards won't because he's already out the first four games. And Dobbins looks like he's not going to play. So they signed workhorse Mike Davis, who's, you know, a stopgap measure at best. He's a plotter who's only effective in, you know, running the ball, short yardage and stuff. And then they went out and signed Kenny and Drake after he got released from the room. So they got kind of a 1-2 punch until Dobbins and Edwards hopefully come back and produce. And that's an interesting room to watch. I mean, you know, they're going to want to run the ball. You know, Lamar's going to run the ball a lot. But what happens, you know, in that offense when those two, when Dobbins and Edwards do come back, what happens to the other guys? So the two guys exceed. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there in Baltimore.
Yeah, I think my overall impression, like It's kind of the big explosion. It's the big trades for me. Russell Wilson to Denver, Tyreek to Miami. You know, I don't think Julio Jones going to Tampa Bay is a small thing either. I think there's definite fantasy upside going on there.
You get a lot of rave reviews there.
Yeah.
You know, and, so it could be a sneaky guy to pick up or a draft, you know, later draft. Still got one. Do you have any more drafts left to go? Are you done?
I got one to do on the day after tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, me too. I got one Wednesday night as well. Right before kickoff. Right before the day before kickoff.
Obviously. Yeah. So, that's the best time. That's the best time to do it because everybody's on equal footing. When you draft too early, you know, you get things like Marlon Mack, right? People late in their draft, they picked up Marlon Mack, or maybe even, I don't think people were picking him up that late. It wasn't like the last guy drafted. He would be like, you know, maybe the second to third to the last round. Maybe, so you get stuff like that. Plus, you know, camp injuries too that crop out of nowhere. We kind of got off light. That's another thing I've noticed too, is that no season ending injuries really of note that I can think of offhand.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of the teams were very careful with their star players this offseason, the preseason, I should say. Yeah, I mean, you don't, like you said, you didn't get any injuries, knock on wood. I don't think a lot of them played, which was good. I mean, they played very, very small sample sizes, you know, in preseason. So save them for when the big shows, big lights come on. So that's a good thing.
I think probably the biggest news that sort of hung in the air, like, and actually you kind of got sick of it too. And it's your guy, Watson, right?
Not my guy. My team, not my guy.
Well, you know, it's just...
I know what you mean.
But Deshaun Watson has been just... that news has just hung around, like, forever. Like, it seemed like... I mean, this is going back as far as, well, right after the Super Bowl, almost, I think. And
yeah, I'm kind of sick of it as well.
And so, I mean, and it lingered from last year, too, you know? Like, so it's just been going... It's an ongoing... I wouldn't call it a soap opera because... It's not, but it's just, you know, it's just fantasy news that you kind of, like I say, got sick of. Hang on a second. I'm just going to get something across the room that I would like to use because for some reason, my pen didn't decide it to work.
Nice. Hey, what's that?
Right. So, okay, that's better.
I mean, that whole situation and, you know, Cleveland with Watson, you know, you got Brissett that's going to play the first, you know, 11 games. That's going to be, they're going to be, well, you would assume that they're going to be a ball control offense and just run those running backs as much as they can. They got two studs in the backfield and Chubbs and Hunt and maybe throw some deep throws to Cooper, but it's a whole different offense than without Watson there. I mean, and, you know, then, you know, of course they have to play, you know, Baker and Carolina the first week, which, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was playing that way by the NFL, but that's another story. But, you know, playing the first game with Baker, that's going to be an interesting matchup to focus on. Definitely going to have my eyes glued on TV watching that.
It'll be interesting to see. I want to see how the Browns are. All the teams. I also want to see another move that happened. This is kind of getting into the lesser guys, but guys nonetheless that we got to keep an eye on, and that's guys who are getting a second chance at starting, like Marcus Mariota and Mitch Trubisky. I think Mitch Trubisky has the shorter leash of the two.
Agreed.
But I have pretty good hopes for him. They're playing the Bengals to start off, and let's see, and the Steelers are favored, are they? They're not favored, surely. They can't be favored. Let me see if I've got that right. I must be right. See, the Bengals are 6.5 favorites. For some reason, that is wrong on my, it should be favorites. There should be a negative sign there. Negative six, nearly a touchdown.
Right. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Mitch can do. I mean, he had moments in this preseason where he looked, very accurate and he dropped the dimes on a couple of good throws. And, he has the weapons there, of course, with the receivers and Deontay and Pickens, you know, emerging as a big threat there. So, of course, Najee's there. Hopefully not, he's supposed to be healthy, but we'll see with that Liz Frick injury. So, you know, if the offensive line can keep him upright, he has a chance to succeed there, I think.
Right. Yeah. We'll see. My view of Pickett was pretty good the first preseason, but I don't know. It seems like this is a guy that, you know, it always happens with quarterbacks. You don't have the book on them. Defenses don't have the book on anybody. And this is the thing about September, too, is that, you know, defenses are, you know, they haven't had any film of anybody yet. So the only film they got is from last year, basically.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of like the rest of us when it comes to analyzing their opposition. So this is why September is such an awkward part of fantasy, because and I've said it before. I'm not gonna harp on the point, but I think we've gotten the point already.
Yeah, I agree.
So
yeah, I agree with you.
But let's see, you've got some other things going on here.
What do you think about the situation in Washington and that with Nathaniel Gibson, you know, being kind of, well, he was benched, put special teams, third team, you know, then the unfortunate incident with Brian Robinson, you know, getting carjacked and shot. Thankfully, he's okay. He should return sometime this season. But now we got Gibson back as a starter, which, you know, makes him, I would hope he's motivated to keep his job. But to see what he does. I mean, he has the talent. Whether he can put it all together, it'll be interesting.
I don't think, you know, it's funny that people talk about, oh, Gibson, no Brian Robinson. We gotta, you know, Gibson isn't a bad running back. He's he's good. I think there's disappointment, and there was like, this is the problem with hype and the guy who's behind the hype. You know, when Gibson came into the league, people were taking, oh, he's a sleeper, man. This guy, you know what I mean? It's the same sort of thing whenever some guy is coming into the league and people have, I'm guilty of it too. I get on the hype train. Happens, but
he was hot coming out of college, and you know, it's weird though, is when he was in, you know, playing in Memphis, he was a running back / receiver, and then when he gets to Washington, they get McKissick to play receiver instead of putting Gibson out there. It doesn't make any sense. I think sometimes it's a little bit over coaching, because he was phenomenal with the ball in the open field. I mean, that's what he's known for, and he didn't get an opportunity to do that in Washington. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I think the problem with Gibson is they needed that goal line guy, and Gibson wasn't quite that. He can do the job, but I think they want that. I think they want that crusher, you know, that crusher back that can do the, you know, the short yardage, the goal line guy.
Yeah.
And so Gibson could do it, but not quite as good as, you know, someone bigger. You know, you want that, well, no one can be like Derrick Henry, but you know what I'm getting at. The big back, bigger back.
I
mean, they're all big compared to me. I get it out here. You have exceptions like Christian McCaffrey, you know, he's just that tight, or Jonathan Taylor for that matter. But Gibson isn't any either of those, but he's not bad. He's not bad. He's a good fill for people. So don't shy away from drafting Antonio Gibson if I have him at RB29. I don't know how you feel that. I have him ahead of Dobbins, and I have him behind Miles Sanders. So
I'm not a big fan of Sanders. I bought him, and he's already hurt. It seems like he's always hurt, and I like Kenneth Gainwell. I think is going to emerge as the go-to guy there, with Sanders kind of filling in here and there.
Oh.
And that's what I predict. But I'm not a big fan of Sanders.
Yeah. Who else do we want to think about, Dennis?
Another running back that was making news all preseason was Damian Pierce of the Texans. They kind of forced the. And kind of indirectly, maybe not, but forced the release of Marlon Mack because Pearson emerged as a go-to guy there. So, there's nobody else really there. Him and Burkhead maybe, but Burkhead's special teams guy is not really a running back. But yeah, Pearson's going to get the volume there. So, I mean, he's somebody you want to draft. I mean, he's been drafted all over the place, you know, as far as third round, fifth round. I mean, he's a good bat to have as your second back, but he's been drafted all over the place. He's been someone that's emerged, probably one of the stars of the preseason.
Yeah, you'll see Burkhead mixing in, but it is looking like the guy that you want. They've already released Marlon Mack from their. They put him on their practice squad. Now they've moved him off. So it's Royce Freeman or Dare Ogunbowale who are behind those two.
Yeah.
But the problem with Dameon Pierce, he's on the Texans.
Very true.
And you want a team that can score. You want a team that can put drives together. And I'm not saying that the Texans can put drives together, but you want teams with good offenses, and you want your fantasy players on the field, not on the sideline.
Yeah.
So
that's gonna be hard for that.
Yeah, I don't like teams that go 3-and-out too much.
Right. I agree. Yeah, man, it's gonna be. I'm usually gonna have opportunity there, but it's gonna be limited based upon the game, game script that he's gonna be facing. They're gonna be behind a lot of games, so he should be able to get the ball in the passing game as well. So that could hopefully highlight him a little bit more, but he's still gonna be limited based upon his team.
Yeah.
So
I'm actually, we were talking about Davis Mills and mm-hmm. I saw him in the preseason. I was like, you know what, this quarterback, he's not as bad as people are saying. Actually, Mills is not bad. He's not great, but he's not bad. He's a pretty good. Like I said, I think he's better than I have him ranked ahead of Mac Jones.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I have him ahead of Tannehill, Zach Wilson, and Daniel Jones. I have him ahead of Carson Wentz.
I hate Carson Wentz, but yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
I have him ahead of Geno Smith.
Oh yeah, that's no better. I was going to mention him next, but yeah, you beat me to it.
But I don't have him ahead of Mitch Trubisky at QB23.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like you said, he is on a short leash, so
yeah.
If he fails, he may get yanked. But I don't think Mills has no threat behind him to get yanked. He's going to be out there. So, I mean, I think he's, like you said, we have negative game script. He's going to be throwing the ball a lot. He has good weapons and Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins and even the tight end Brevin Jordan. So he has the weapons out there. If the offensive line can keep him upright, he could have a good fantasy. He's a good quarterback too. If you want to.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? I take him. I'd probably take him ahead of Trubisky just because I would worry about him getting yanked if he starts failing. So I'd probably take him ahead of Trubisky, but he's right there. He's in that. In that vicinity.
Do you know who my number 40? We're only our fearless leader who I don't want to use any derogatory terms. we're only allowed 40 quarterbacks, so he kind of insists on us cutting off. But my number 40 quarterback is Joshua Dobbs of the Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
Well, I just don't think I think Dobbs has a chance of. I have Jacoby Brissett at QB 32, and I think Dobbs could get some starts. And I liked what I saw him in preseason. Granted, okay, he was on the second team of going against the opposition second teamers, but they're still professionals.
Since we're talking about
quarterbacks, I'm kind of interested in Malik Willis too of the Titans.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think he's going to get starts this year. I wouldn't be surprised. As Tannehill, he's not looked good, and especially last year he definitely. And then end of 2 years ago, he was starting to look bad, and last year he looked pretty horrendous. So I wouldn't be surprised if Willis starts some games this year. Yeah. Another sneaky guy to have is your third quarterback, maybe stash him, and you never know what's going to happen in Tennessee.
Mm. Oh, other off-season news. Besides we've talked to death about Russell Wilson, but Jimmy Garoppolo was also topical this off-season. A little,
Yeah, very much.
Staying with the team, there was all these trade rumors floating around throughout, the spring and summer. But never came. He's staying with the team. Signed him to a deal.
Does that make you nervous?
I don't know what Pete Carroll is thinking. Like with his team that. I mean, Geno Smith is not a good quarterback, and it should be known. But
yeah, I agree.
I mean,
and him and Drew Lock is it's worst against the worst there. I mean, they're two very woeful quarterbacks that I'm not sure why they're even in. They're good. Yeah, I guess Geno Smith's a good backup, but have him start games that make me very nervous. But they're
not for him because you never draft him. It's the skill players that he's surrounded by.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, even though he did well with Metcalf, Are you going to trust Metcalf with Geno Smith?
Are you going to? Yeah. Okay. Like, you know, some good games there. Okay. But anyways, right. All right. Lead the next topic, Dennis. This is your thing here. Where are we?
Yeah, going? I was actually going to talk about the Seattle situation. I mean, now, you know, you got Geno Smith starting there in the running back situation with Penny, and hopefully he's healthy at least for now. He did great last year, end of last year, and he's supposedly healthy now, but Ken Walker is in the background and he's going to be coming back. So does that degrade Penny enough that you can get him cheap, or do you search for Walker in your drafts?
I'm feeling shy about the Seattle backfield because DJ Dallas and Travis Homer are good enough to mix in there with everybody. I mean, it could be I don't want to say it's going to be exactly a Shanahan type deal. Carroll kind of likes that bell cow, sort of, I think, but.
Yeah, does he have one as a question?
Yeah, and, I don't know, it could be a musical chair situation in Seattle. I think you have to really approach that backfield with caution in fantasy. You really have to, of course, Penny is very draftable, but, you know, there's the injury proneness, there's other matters. I'd be much happier taking a flyer on a deep Seattle, on a deeper Seattle running back, you know, that where you don't have to draft a Seattle running back high. I'd rather draft someone down the list as your late draft. I mean, you could pick up Travis Homer like at your, you know, in your second to last pick or something like that, you know.
Right, true.
And I think, you might get better value than Penny himself. I mean, so. It's all a matter of like what if you want to draft Penny high, okay. But he's a very lukewarm target for me, Dennis. He really is.
Yeah, it's hard to invest any draft capital in Penny when you know you got Walker in the background. He's very injury prone. I mean, he did very well at the end of last season when he was probably leading a lot of fantasy managers in the playoffs. And he had like four out of the last five games. He had 100 yards. But I mean, he is injury waiting to happen. I mean, most any player is, but he's injury prone. So, and then you got Kenny Walker in the background, which, you know, they love him and they want him to get out. Once he fully recovers from the hernia surgery, he's going to be out there. So then you're going to have a two-prong attack that on an offense that's going to look pretty horrendous with some bad quarterback play. I mean, that all equals to me is kind of fantasy avoidance, 100%.
Yeah.
It's hard to invest in that.
But the fantasy managers who are willing to take chances and are have a bit of a maverick stripe, tend to win championships. You know, I get a lot of players that you get a lot of fantasy managers, including our fantasy leaders that like to play it safe. that's fine. I mean, you know, you want to play the averages, right? If you play the averages, you get average.
Yeah, that's what you get. That's the problem. I mean, you got to be able to obviously hit the right ones, and you know, you always forget about the ones you don't hit. So. But the ones you hit, you brag about till, you know, the end of time. And you're like bragging about how you picked like when Randy Moss was their rookie, when everyone picked him, he was going to do good, but no one thought he was going to do that good. I mean, he was, you know, unstoppable, you know. So, I mean, that's the ones you kind of brag about. The other ones you so-called forget about them after a while because you never want to talk about the ones you missed on, unfortunately.
You know what? I think it's a good time that we should bring in Davis Peng, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's hear what Davis Peng has to say about what he's going to bring for us this season.
Peng's Picks with Davis Peng.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Davis Peng of Fantasy Six Pack. Yeah, you guys might remember me from last season when I helped out on the Fantasy Edge. And this year, I'll be helping out every single week with a segment called Peng's Picks. And the whole point of this Peng's Picks segment is to give you guys some kind of extra edge, you know, another person's input on something, or maybe something that you might have missed out. It could be trade picks. It could be players I'm very in on, things like that. So with that being said, this week, I want to talk about who to draft or who to target on the waiver or even make trades on. I understand that your draft may have commenced last week or it may have been completed today. So my goal is to help you guys start managing your leagues before week one officially commences, because that's how you win. You win by actively attending to your team every single week, even before the season actually. So let's start off with the quarterback. My first quarterback I want to talk about in the year is Kirk Cousins. Hey, there's a chance he might be on the waiver this year. There's a lot of good quarterbacks I've seen on the waivers after your draft has started. Go check out if he's there. He's right now got a new O-line. It's upgraded. He's got some of the best wide receiver weapons on the league, and he's got a new offensive coordinator, the one that just came from the Rams. And guess what? Kirk Cousins has been paired with this guy before. And the last time he was paired with them, they finished as a top five quarterback, and that was on a bad Commanders. Secondly, let's talk about DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf is one of my favorite wide receivers, primarily in standard or in half PPR, but I think he has a special place in PPR. He's going to be an amazing flex play every single week. He is one of the few receivers that have had a 1,000-yard season on average with over 10 touchdowns. I see why people are down on him. They don't like Geno Smith. They don't like Drew Lock. Hey, I totally get it. But this is not the first person to ever play behind bad quarterbacks. DK Metcalf is easily one of the best flex plays on this team because you know he's going to have every chance to possibly boom and put up 12, 8, 20 points. People forget that Amon-Ra had that great week in week 17, but on the other side of the ball, there was DK Metcalf. So maybe someone has him already, maybe you have him, but trade for him if you can before week one officially commences, because he's someone that I think is going to have a great season as a great value buy. Now, two players I think that are on your waivers or could be on your waivers or sitting on someone's bench. Khalil Herbert, great running back. He's playing behind David Montgomery. He's going to be the pass catching option, right? We've always been looking for that next Tariq Cohen. This is it. Khalil Herbert is that Tariq Cohen for this team. Now, it won't be maybe not as electric, but he's a good in-between version of David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen. He can catch the ball. He's great. He's going to be playing most likely from behind because the Bears are just not that good of a team. So sign me up for some Khalil Herbert. I think you should be drafting him as often as you can. And last but not least, let's talk about Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper was probably one of the most underrated tight ends coming to the season. He's starting fresh and new with a Tennessee Titans team that has used their tight end consistently over year after year after year. Last year was probably the only time it wasn't great. But you know what? There was a reason for this hype because we've seen these guys take off for them. Austin Hooper is a good tight end. He failed a little bit at, you know, the Cleveland Browns. But here, let's be real. What player succeeded on the Browns anyway from a receiving standpoint? None of them. I think what he did over there won't reflect what he's going to do for the Titans. And guess what? The Titans don't have any pass catching options. Sign me up for Austin Hooper. You should be taking him. You should pick him off your waiver. And last but not least, let's talk Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins defense is very strong. They did well last year. They're most likely on your waiver. And guess what? I think with this high-powered offense, they're not going to be going three and out all the time. So the Miami defense is going to be fresh, be able to come on and just get the right amount of turnovers and right amount of sacks and be really relevant and finish as a top 12 defense.
Wow. And that is Davis Peng's picks for the week. Got kind of off a little bit early. I hope I didn't mess that up for him. But I think you got the whole thing in there, Dennis.
Yeah, I think so. Interesting selections there. It's kind of Ryan that he talked about.
Yeah, it's a good thing
DK Metcalf.
It's a good thing I had a working one. And, he likes DK Metcalf more than we do.
Definitely. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, we just kept saying about how we're trying to avoid that, and he suggested that. So, look, but like someone's going to have to catch the ball there. I mean, DK is a very physically talented receiver, whether Geno and Lock can get him the ball would be another subject, but we'll see what can happen there.
I agree with Herbert, especially if you draft David Montgomery, you do well to cuff him right away with Herbert.
Yeah, I like Herbert. I'm not a big fan of Montgomery. I think Herbert takes over for Montgomery sometime this year.
Well, you know all about Austin Hooper, though. I mean, you're okay with him, right?
Yeah, that's a good pick. I mean, yeah, he was. Yeah, like Davis said, no one really succeeded in the Browns passing game last year, so Hooper was not going to be able to produce that much. But he has a good chance to produce with Tannehill needs to throw the ball to somebody. I mean, Traylon Burks is kind of off again, on again. He's a rookie, so we'll see some ups and downs with him. But Hooper's pretty consistent. He may be, a decent option. I think he's more of a bye week fill-in more than anything else, but he could be a decent option for teams that, bypass all the top tight ends.
Yep. And, of course, he mentioned Kirk Cousins as quarterback. Go out and grab gun. I can't get Kirk Cousins.
You're not a Cousins fan?
No.
I love Kirk Cousins.
You do not.
I love Kirk Cousins.
You don't.
No. Yeah, I do. I swear I do. Yeah, I try to target him in a lot of my drafts. I mean, he's going to have a good year this year. I mean, he has the weapons here, and like Davis mentioned.
He had the weapons last year.
Well, he still did well. he still throws 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns every year. I mean, it's, and where you're drafting him is the perfect spot to get him if you're going to be someone that bypasses the top quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I grab him in everything I can.
Seriously, me. Actually, I was kind of glad because they played the Bears in my fantasy playoff against Kevin Huo. He hit a touchdown with Jefferson once in the game, early in the game, and then that was it. Bears. Yeah, he couldn't complete any passes. And Kevin, here I was really afraid because Kevin had this, you know, had a nice tidy stack there with Cousins and Jefferson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just one toss touchdown. I thought, oh, early on I was sweating, but I don't know, as the game wore on, the Bears defense, you know, started sacking Kirk Cousins, started harassing him. It was delightful.
It was delightful.
So, well, I mean, it's fantasy playoffs, you know.
I know. Hey, you got to root against the other guy.
Absolutely. That's right. So, well, no, well, I had skin in that game too because I had David Montgomery and Mooney.
Oh,
and David Montgomery scored a touchdown, negated whatever he was doing, so it came up. Yeah,
there you go.
I have to admit I had a pretty good fantasy playoffs. They were all lopsided in my favor, which is kind of rare, but that's kind of the way you like it. That's kind of the way you like your fantasy playoffs. You like you like to take the knee in the fourth quarter to end the game, right?
Absolutely. Nice to do that. I don't like those nail biters. They make you go crazy. You know?
Yeah,
they start throwing stuff at the TV, and you know, I've done that unfortunately a couple of times.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to head into week one, thankfully, on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
So we want to take a look at who to start and who to sit.
Oh,
and so we want to go into. We'll do the positive first. So which quarterbacks are you looking to start?
I would say, and I'm not, I'm going to pick someone down the list. I would say, I got to look at the, not Kirk Cousins. I'm going to say, start Matt Ryan against the Texans.
Good pick.
And, yeah, good pick. Sit. I would say, well, nobody's starting Geno Smith. Somebody that's realistically going to start for somebody. I would say maybe sit Zach Wilson.
Or Flacco.
Who's ever starting?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of Michael Fabiano sit there.
Very true. Yeah. Captain Obvious over here. Very true. Yeah, I was gonna do a Captain Obvious on mine too, on one of them, for this to start. I wanted to see what Russell Wilson does against Seattle defense. I think that's, I mean, on Monday night, you know, going back to Seattle, I think he's going to have a phenomenal game. Can't wait to see what he does with those weapons. He has a lot of weapons there. So I like to see what he does there. But the one start that I do want to mention, that I think will be a sneaky one is Trevor Lawrence against Washington.
Right.
I think with, you know, with that, Peterson leading that offense, I think Lawrence will be a sneaky pick this year. And I think he'll play a lot better than he did last year. Last year he was, not in a pro offense with Urban Meyer trying to coach, which he can't coach in the pros. I think he'll be a lot different. You'll see a lot different Trevor Lawrence this season. And, for my sit, I want to go with Mac Jones against Miami. I think Dolphins defense is a lot better. Matt Jones is game manager at best, and I don't know who's calling plays over there. I don't think even Belichick knows who's calling plays right now. So I'm kind of worried about the passing offense for New England right now. So I'm going to stay away from Matt Jones week.
Yeah, I'm staying away from Mac Jones the whole season, full stop. I mean, it's like, well, and also, this was also something that Davis mentioned was the Miami defense too, right? The Miami DST is, he expects them to be, you know, reaching higher heights. So if you take what Davis says and you add it to Mac Jones, it sounds like a good sit.
Right. Agreed. So we got to head over to running backs. Which running backs do you want to get in your lineup this week?
I think it might be a good idea to, I think I'd like to sit. Let's be bold. I'm not going to do a Fabiano. I'll pick Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones against the Vikings. Especially if, ooh. Yeah, because if the Packers don't have good receivers, that means they're going to be trying to run the ball and trying to pass it. That means Aaron Jones will get a lot of special attention if the injury situation is as bad as or as uncertain, depending on how questionable Alan Lazard is and Christian Watson. And, you know, it's, it sounds like there's a bit of bang. They're a bit banged up. Although I will say that a sleeper for the Packers is Josiah DeGuara of the tight end. So he could have a good game. But I'll go bold. I'll say, yeah, you can, if you want, you can sit. You're probably not sitting because you draft him pretty high. I guess that's kind of unrealistic the other way, you know. But it's usually there's one star that shines, you know, because I'm almost like when I look at a game like the Giants at Titans, I would almost like to say sit Saquon Barkley. You know, he's kind of a guy that you want to play, but I'll stick to my guns. I'll say you probably start in Aaron Jones, but temper expectations.
Okay. What about us? Who are you going to start?
That was my sit, right? Oh, I got to do a start now.
Yeah.
So I did the sit for, and I'm back to front. Let me see. I will go for, you know what? I'll go bold a little bit too with, and sit Leonard Fournette against the Cowboys on Sunday night.
Okay. Why do you think that?
I just feel that that's, I think we're in for a more of a passing game. Unless, of course, Fournette, unless, you know, the Buccaneers get in the red zone. But I got a feeling, even, you know, it's an OU of 50 points score. So, you know, you know, usually a premier game you get. But I get the feeling that, I just have a feeling Fournette will be the odd man out of this, you know, all these fantasy points scored for everybody else, but how come Fournette didn't get much?
Interesting. Yeah, I think he's going to be a stud in that offense, but yeah, you never know. I mean, that game's going to be very high scoring, and it could be, and everybody could have a piece of the pie there. So, I mean, who knows what happens exactly, but I'd take, I probably wouldn't shy away.
Unless, just like me, I'm just going to take the odd man out. Like I say, I'm not going to Fabiano this. I'm just going to, you know.
Fabiano, that's funny.
I'm going to use that. That's my new adjective. Are you going to Fabiano this?
Yeah, and everyone knows what that means, hopefully.
Well, yeah. I think everybody pretty much knows about it. Have you seen his starts and sits?
No, I know. They're pretty, kept and obvious of every freaking thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah, start Jonathan Taylor against Texas. Yeah, really? No kid. How about that?
Yeah.
Come on. Anyways, we can go on with that. Anyways, so I'll go with my sit first. I'm going to sit David Montgomery against the 49ers.
Okay.
I think the 49ers run defense is tough, and Montgomery, as I mentioned before, I think Herbert's going to take over for him eventually, and I want to shy away from Montgomery. And then Cordell Patterson as well. I'm not going to start putting against New Orleans' tough defense. He didn't do anything against them last year. I think that's going to continue this year. And for my start, I want to go, I don't think Miles Sanders is going to play. Maybe he does. He's going to be limited. So I'm going to go with the sneaky Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell pick against Detroit. Detroit's defense isn't that good. And I think Philly's going to want to showcase their offense with Jalen Hurts. And I think they're going to run the ball enough to keep them fantasy productive. So I'm going to go with that combo. But I think I'd rather have Gainwell than Scott. But I like both those options.
All right. It's funny. I think I have Gainwell and Herbert in my Scott Fishbowl. I'm not sure. I can't. I'd have to look. I just looked at it today and I get it. This is why I don't like to run too many fantasies. I can't remember who I've got on what and where. You start when you have a lot of leagues, you start placing importance on other leagues more than others, and you just don't care. Yep. You end up, you know, it's hard to keep track. And
funny story what I did last year, and I was in multiple leagues, and I was trying to trade for a player, and I offered another team. You know, I was just offered them a player for the other player, and they're like, "Yeah, sounds like a good trade." And they looked, "Hey, wait a minute, you don't even have that player on your team. What are you doing?" And I looked at I didn't know I even had which team, who I had on what team. It was pretty embarrassing. And I was like, oh, I guess I won't do that trade because I don't have a player. So I was like, damn, I feel like an idiot. Because I probably had 10 leagues or something, and I offered it from a different team. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, yeah, that's my dumbass. I can't remember who I had on what team. It was pretty embarrassing. But anyway, yeah, that's a whole other story.
So that's why I like to keep my leagues. Like, so let's keep it under 5 here. Yeah. You know? Well, it's the rating on the site too. You know, you got to do all this reporting, you got to write on the site, you know, as well as managing all these teams.
Right. It's pretty time consuming, but it's fun to do. I get into it, so it's,
I get it.
It's not like it's like work, you know. I mean, it's more, you know, trying to get the rankings done. You know, I like to do that, obviously, the weekly ones. I'm trying to, I got to finish off my pre-draft ones this before Thursday, obviously.
Yeah.
So, and I'll also finish the week one at the same time. So it'll be fun to do.
Now, make sure you check the rankings of our weekly rankings are already out. My preliminaries, of course, they all get tweaked, and we'll be tweaking our draft rankings because there's a competition with Fantasy Pros. You try to get to reach for the top, be the best predictor. Didn't predict so good last year. Well, yeah, I got
pre-draft. You do,
yeah. I do okay. I didn't do okay last year. I ended up in the 90s. So did Joe.
Oh, wow.
I ended up in the 90s for 2021. Previous year, I was number 6.
Wow.
I don't know. It's kind of, I put too much emphasis on other things, but like you say, another story. All right, where are we going, Dennis? Let's go next.
Wide receiver. Who are you looking at?
Okay, this time I'll do it start first and then the sit. You know, start Michael Thomas.
There you go.
Of the Saints. Yeah, start him. I think he's eager to get out there, and he's out there to prove and make sure you put him out there with flying colors. And it's, I don't think that's too fobby, but
it's good.
So I say start Michael Thomas with confidence against the Falcons. And their point total is only 42.5 too.
Yeah.
Wow, Saints are heavily favored too for that game. So that's all right. But I think it'll be a better. I can't believe that over/under total is only 42.5. I think that should be hard.
Well, I'll take
the over on that. I'll take the over on the Steelers and Bengals too, which is 44.5. But anyway, yeah. So he's my start. My sit. My receiver that I sit. I gotta sit somebody. I will sit. I'm gonna sit DJ Moore of the Panthers against the Browns. In fact, it's one of the two lowest over unders that the Vegas has as well. I just feel that this is Baker's first start with the Panthers. Things need to wear in. It's going to be, you know, it's Christian McCaffrey wanted. It's going to be the Christian McCaffrey show as usual. So I would. I'm not saying, I mean, you probably have to start him because of the draft capital that you have on him, but I would say temper expense.
Yeah, I can say that's going to be, Baker's going to be hyped for that one, you know that, and that's going to be an interesting game. The Moore will probably get covered by Denzel Ward, who's emerged as one of the top corners in the league as well. So it'll be interesting what Baker does or doesn't do against that Browns defense, who's, you know, played a lot in camp, and see what Myles Garrett can do against that offensive line of the Panthers, which, you know, they say they're improved, but we'll see.
Well, it's also week one. I think the running game will get fixed up first, obviously, because that's their important part of their team, and then they'll start focusing on the wide receiving. Which, you know, I'm not saying that DJ Moore couldn't score a touchdown, of course, but I'm just kind of like looking at it like this is week one. They're getting to know each other.
All right, so my receiver I'm going to go with is maybe a little Fabiano like is Mike Williams of the Chargers going against the Raiders. Yeah. I think that game's going to be very offensive friendly, and I think Mike Williams is going to overtake Keenan Allen as the go-to guy for Justin Herbert. I think it starts week one. And then my sit, I'm going to sit the Green Bay receivers against Minnesota, not because Minnesota is a great defense, because they're not, but I think we don't know who's going to play and who Rodgers is going to gear to. So I'm going to stay away from them until we figure out who Rodgers likes and doesn't like and who's actually healthy. So I'm going to stay away from them. I'm not taking a chance putting one of them in my lineup to get a big bet zero.
No.
So stay away from them.
Yep. Sounds good. I think Mike Williams, Raiders and Chargers. This will kind of be, the proof will be in the pudding. You know how I've been sort of a little bit down on Davante Adams. Yeah. It'll be just like, I'll look wrong for the first 2 weeks of this season. Guarantee.
Okay.
Guarantee you, I'm going to look wrong. I'm going to look wrong, all wrong about Davante Adams. But as soon as October comes along, you'll see.
Okay.
I'll be wrong. Yeah, it's going to be just, it is. It's true. It's going to be like, I guess you could almost say I'm looking at him as a sort of like a Darren Waller. I think Darren Waller, Darren Waller has a good game, but I'm not saying to sit Devontae Adams because I think, probably have a good game in that one. But agree with Mike Williams, definitely, yeah. And who is your sit again? Oh, I forgot already.
Green Bay receivers.
Oh, yeah, Green Bay receivers, of course. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, sure.
All right, what about your tight ends? What are you going to do?
Tight ends. Yeah, I would say, I'm going to start Cole Kmet.
There you go.
Only because I don't know who is the WR2 on the Bears.
Pringle.
Yeah.
Pringle if he's healthy.
Felix Jones. Equanimeous St. Brown. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, right.
And Pettis, I think, is the other guy.
Yeah, Dante Pettis. Like you said, Kmet's going to be the number two guy there. The option for Fields.
So. I would say you should be drafting. I have Kmet very high on my. I have Kmet as TE6 in my draft.
Wow.
I believe.
I see.
Well, it's not just. I'm not just doing this out of because out of thin air. I watched the preseason games. I see with my eyes, and I see into the future, Marty. Oh, boy. Hi, Doc.
Yeah, who do you guys your sit?
Who have I got? Oh yeah, the sit. Oh, I got to sit somebody. I will sit. I will sit Zach Ertz of the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, I know it's a very high over under. I think it's the highest of the week. Yeah, 53.5. Chiefs at Cardinals, but. I don't think this is going to be a case of where Zach Ertz is the odd man out. This is all running and the rabbits. And this is running and rabbits. And Travis Kelce, he'll be okay. But yeah. In the Arizona offense, I think Zach Ertz will be afterthought in this game. So I'm going to sit. What do you think of them apples?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Ertz is going to get peppers as targets, and they're going to be passing the ball. They're going to have to try to keep up with the Chiefs' offense. So I think they're going to be passing a lot. I think everyone's an option in that offense. I mean, Marquis Brown's going to be an option. Rondell Moore, I think, is going to step up. Ertz is
sleeper for me.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ertz does well. He should have a good year this year.
Yeah, Rondell Moore, definite sleeper there.
Yeah. And so my tight end I want to go with is Pat Freiermuth to the Steelers going against the Bengals. He did very well last year, scored in both matchups against them, and he was a new quarterback. I think Freiermuth will still find the end zone this week. So I'm going with Freiermuth and the sit, Mike Gesicki. I'm avoiding Gesicki in all my drafts, and I'm not going to play him this week against New England. I just think that Gesicki's, they're trying to make him a blocker, and he's not a good blocker. And they got not enough offensive weapons now that they don't need a tight end option anymore. So I think we shy away from Gesicki.
Yeah, even though, they got Waddle and Tyreek Hill. The other receivers on that team, I don't know the depth chart very well.
Yeah, you got Chase Edmonds out of the backfield, who's going to get a lot of catches as well to that offense. So I think Gesicki is going to be someone I'm not going to worry about.
There must have been someone who stood out for me in the Miami receiving core that, that didn't. Well, come on, hurry up. No, the page just goes too slow to come up because I want to look at the depth chart here. Come on, get on with it. stupid. I can't see their depth chart. Okay. I'll do it the hard way now. Okay.
Listen, maybe. Is that what you're thinking about?
I'm just trying to look at, I'm trying to see the Miami depth chart as far as receivers go. And I've only got, there is one. Oh, Cedric Wilson.
Yeah.
He's on their team now. And he's pretty good,
Yeah, he did well last year for Dallas.
He's pretty good. Yeah, I forgot about him. Yeah, I have him as, he's another good late pick. You could possibly scoop up Cedric Wilson.
Yeah.
He's WR106 for me, but I mean.
That's very deep.
That is very deep. Yeah. Well there's so many other good, players ahead of him, right?
Right.
I don't know why I have Cobb. He should be ahead of Cobb. I got a lot of adjusting. I mean, it's hard when you start getting into the, below 80, below WR80, it's all a mix and it's really guesswork there. I mean, well, it's all guesswork, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, has this come up yet? No, it has not. I'm trying to find, I want the proper depth chart to see who else besides, no, I guess it doesn't matter.
No, so they got that Eric Ikuzama or something like that, well, in the preseason. He showed up pretty well. I probably butchered his name. I apologize, but he showed up very well in the preseason. But it's going to be Wilson, Waddle, and Hill as the three wideouts.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So I mean, I think he has enough weapons, and plus Edmonds on the backfield, he has enough. That's why I'm thinking that Kosicki's going to be kind of someone to avoid. I'm not going to take him in any of my leagues.
Yep. So are we doing defenses and kickers? I guess not, eh?
Nah, I don't do that. That kicker is not anti-kicker.
Anti-kicker. You know what?
Yeah.
I miss the good old kicker days. Kickers won me many a fantasy week. Like, and sometimes on Monday night, there's nothing like Monday night when it comes down to the last kick of the game and you need that kick or you need it blocked and it's a long 50-yarder and you're kind of hoping, come on, you got to get it. I mean, it makes it real. I think that's kind of the thing I liked about, because I had that on numerous occasions when kickers were people.
Kickers are people.
But since kickers aren't people anymore, so, you know, that's missed the good old days. You know. So, I guess that's our show almost. We got a few minutes to fill in, but I guess we got time to talk about what we're going to be doing in the season to be. Of course, we already know that we're going to have Peng's picks every week, and we're going to be doing a waiver wire review because we'll be recording on during Monday Night Football, more or less, either before or later or in it. And so we'll be looking at the early waiver wire because that's on Tuesdays. That's when everyone's deciding, you know, what they want for Christmas.
That's right.
And it's like Christmas, though, isn't it? When you wake up in the morning, you see if you got, you know.
Absolutely. It's fun.
It's fun. I hate it when you get up and it's like, what? How come it's not done?
Right. What's going on with this thing? Why isn't it working?
There must have been but you kind of forget there's a lot of processing that goes into it.
Of course.
So sometimes it takes a long time. Oh, it's not done. Really pisses you off when it's not done.
Yeah.
And,
keep waiting.
And the thing is you can't tear yourself away from the screen because it's got to be any time now.
Right.
You know, half hour goes by. Come on. Where is it? You keep refresh.
Right.
I admit I'm a compulsive refresher if that happens. I don't know if you do that, but I do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm freaking out to find out who I got. Plus, I always look at who gets dropped as well. If someone that say, why would you? Yeah, you're crazy. I'd be picking somebody up. Yeah, people do, especially in the first couple of weeks of the year when someone doesn't do well. They're, you know, it's a, you know, stupid drop that they do because, you know, let's say, I don't know, whoever, a player. Yeah, has a bad week one and automatically drop him because he would pick up the next best thing, which it could have been a one week flash, and you drop somebody that's going to be significant for the rest of the year. Yeah, I'm like on it right away. Like, why are they doing that to people?
Yeah.
You don't want to drop them, not me, you know?
That's right.
Don't blame me because I picked them up.
Well, they go automatically to waivers, anybody, but I mean, it's not only just what you got to, it's the, you know, there's a bit of a scavenger hunt afterwards, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
And some people set their alarm clocks for 4 a.m, you know, so that they get, so they can get on the scavenger. Like, you know, you got to be a dedicated fantasy guy. You got to get up with the, you know, you got to get up with the Robins.
Yep. Right. So there's a process you're up waiting for.
That's right.
To dive in and get somebody. Yeah.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Yeah. So who do you think's is going to be in the Super Bowl this year?
We got a little bit of predicting going on to do, don't we? Yeah, a little bit of prediction.
Yeah, we can just do a Super Bowl pick. It's fine.
All right. Okay. You got them. We got time to do this really quickly. We got 5 minutes. You got to do this in 5 minutes. You got AFC East. Yeah. Bills for sure. Jets, Patriots, and Miami Dolphins. Dolphins will be second. But yeah, Bills win the division. Chargers, Chiefs, Broncos. AFC West. I'm still going to give it to the Chiefs. I think Chiefs win the division.
Yeah, I say Chargers win it.
All right.
I think they overcome the Snide from Kansas City. I think and Herbert's going to get better, which is scary because he's really good now. But in a healthy defense, I think they're going to get over on the Chiefs this year.
Mm-hmm. You got the Ravens. I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna put Bengals, and you know okay. what? I'm gonna make it bold, and I'm gonna put it in red. Bengals, okay. Not the Raven. Actually, these should be orange in there. Okay.
Yeah, put it orange.
There we go.
Orange and black.
There yeah, you go. Orange. There we go. Bengals. Bengals. What do you got the Raven? You think the Ravens are, I don't know.
I think the Bengals are going to suffer a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. And I think they're going to have a tougher schedule this year because of what they did last year. So I think, I mean, they're not going to fall too far. They're going to be a playoff, but I think they're not going to win. I think the Ravens, with a healthy Lamar, I think they're going to win.
Okay. Who we got? Colts, Jaguars. Who else is in that division? I always forget.
Not much. That's why I picked the Colts for. Not much there. Not going to be the Titans.
No. Titans will be contenders, Titans could make the playoffs.
No, I don't think so. Not with Tannehill. I mean, unless Will sticks over and he blasts in that role. But I still think it's going to be a close. With Matt Ryan instead of Wentz there, I think it'll be a lot, the offense will be better, more rounded instead of just John Taylor.
Right.
So I'd go with the Colts.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, I think the Colts. I think you're right. We'll go with the Colts. Eagles, Cowboys. Okay, Eagles or Cowboys.
Yeah, that's when I kept going back and forth.
Yeah. You went with the Eagles. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. That disaster game against the 49ers in the playoffs last year. I think the Cowboys can make playoffs, but I think you could be right. I think Philadelphia Eagles will just... It'll be another one of those things with the NFC East where it's... I think there'll be a little... I think it'll be a little bit better of a division, I think, but...
Yeah.
And it'll be close. We'll see. I'm sure there can be a 10-16. I think there'll be a 10-16. There wasn't last year. I think a 9-17 in the division is pretty poor. But I'll go with the Eagles. Yeah, okay. I'll go with the Eagles. Tentatively.
Okay.
Rams and Cardinals. It'll be the Rams. I think Rams are still strong.
Yeah, a lot of Stafford stays healthy.
They'll lose a little bit of power, but I think they'll still have enough to win that division again. Yep. You got Packers and Vikings here. I'm going Vikings. I think the Vikings. I'm going to say this to the end because we've got to talk about the Super Bowl, and we've got about a minute left. But Vikings win that division.
Stick with the Packers.
Yeah. You're sticking with the Packers.
Yeah, better defense, and still Rodgers is still there, so I'm still going to go with the Packers.
Right, and I guess last but not least, Buccaneers. Yeah, for sure. Buccaneers. Yeah. They'll take that division. But I'm going to take the Vikings to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. You just poo-pooed Kirk Cousins, and now he's going to win the Super Bowl?
Well, not with Kirk Cousins. Cousins will get injured, and someone else got injured.
Nice. I think it's going to be...
Look, Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that defense was like one of the best ever in history, so that's not... You can't count Flacco. I mean, you have to count him, but he's not good quarterback. He never was. Ever.
Quick, you got 10 seconds.
Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills. Good pick. See you next week on the Fantasy Edge.